and the book of Acts, chapter number 2, Matthew 16, and Acts, chapter number 2. Give those girls a hand. Amen. I love that Jackson family and how God has put his hand upon them, used them for the glory of God. I love that family. Matthew 16 and Acts chapter number 2. I want to preach for just a little while. I probably won't be over 2 hours this morning, but I want to preach for just a little while. Something I believe that we all need to be reminded of occasionally in our lives. If you'll stand to honor the reading of God's Word, Matthew 16 and Acts chapter number 2. Let me say this about a revival. The old-time preachers, you don't hear much about this anymore, but the old-time preachers used to say this: we got three enemies in this life. Bless God. Huh. You need to be aware of those three enemies. Huh. And one of those enemies is the flesh. Huh. Another enemy is the world. Huh. And the third enemy is the devil himself. Ha. Be aware of those three enemies. Ha, ha, ha. Amen. I like it. Amen. It's still true today. We still have three enemies. And we've got a revival coming up, and I guarantee you those enemies will try to prevail in your life. Your flesh will try to tell you, oh, you're too tired to stay at the house. No, that recliner just feels too good is what it is. Amen. Well, amen. I already felt a root on that one. It's already getting mighty lonely up here behind the pulpit. And then the world will try to prevail. Don't you let the world trick you into making you think that things of the world are more important than things at the house of God. Well, it's getting real quiet now. And then the devil, he will trick you into staying out of that meeting. But I believe if you'll make up your mind to be at every service of that meeting, I believe God will do something for your heart and your life. Amen. Matthew 16, we're going to begin there in verse number 17. And then we'll look in Acts chapter 2. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 17 says this: And Jesus answered and said unto him, speaking to Simon Peter, he said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not, hallelujah, prevail against it. Let's read on just a moment, because I want to point out something to you. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Kind of an odd ending to that part of Scripture. But you see, the church was not at that time. It had not yet been birthed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and his time had not come. The church could never begin until Jesus died and rose again. And so he said, now look, right now, just don't tell anybody about this, because the time will come when I want the whole world to know that I am the Christ. But notice what he said in verse number 18. I will build my church. I want to preach for a little while this morning. We're going to read Acts 2 in just a moment. But I want to preach for a little while this morning on the kind of church that I want to be a member of. I want to say thank God for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the church. And you, if you're saved, you should love the church. Well, it's getting mighty weak in here this morning. I thank God for the local church that God has let me be associated. Thank God. He didn't leave me out there by myself, but He put me in the church. And I thank God to be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at Acts chapter number 2, verse number 41. It says, then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possession and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we love You. And we thank You and praise You, Lord, for the church. And I pray, Father, that God, You'd give us its right due this morning. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we might leave this place viewing the church in a renewed heart, a revived heart. God, so many today, Lord, are just treating the church, Lord, as just anything that, Lord, like any other thing in this world. But, Lord, I pray, God, that, Lord, You please revive us about Your church. Please, dear Father, remind us how important it is to be a part of a local assembly called the church. Now, Lord, we love You and we thank You and adore You for this time that You've given us together. Bless the preaching of Thy word. Lord, may I preach in the liberty of the Spirit of God. Lord, may the anointing of God be upon me. And Lord, may I speak the words of truth. And Lord, we'll love You and thank You for everything that You'll accomplish this morning. In the precious holy name of Jesus Christ, we love You and thank You for everything. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, we read in the book of Matthew how that the Lord told him that one day He was going to begin building His church. But then He warned him. He said, don't go and tell people about this. He said, just keep it to yourselves right now, because, like I said, His time had not yet come. But the day came on the day of Pentecost that Jesus birthed the church into existence. And we read in Acts chapter 2 some of the early things that went on in the church. And I read one commentary that said in the first 12 months of the church right there in Jerusalem, that there were probably around 30,000 people that got saved by the grace of God. You know, one of the most important things in any of our lives is salvation. Thank God that the Lord offers salvation to whosoever. Does not matter who you are. Does not matter what name tag you may hold. Jesus offers salvation, hallelujah, to whosoever. He does not say that you have to clean up your life. He says, you just come to me as you are, a sinner, and I'll save you by my grace. Thank God for a God like that. Thank God for salvation this morning. And it says in our text that 3,000 people were added in one day to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's many things, many thoughts about the church today. What should be in it? What should go on in a church? There's many different, as a matter of fact, no matter what you may believe about it this morning, you can find a church that'll match what you want out of a church. I mean, there's so many different denominations today. There's the Church of Christ, the Church of God. There's the Advent Church, the Apostolic Church. There's the Baptist Church. There's the Church of Christ. There's the Methodist Church, the Presbyterian, the Lutheran, the Catholic, the Salvation Army. There's the Episcopalian, and there's even some that are cults that even claim to be a church, the Jehovah Witness and the Mormons. And many things are said about church today. Many buildings put a sign out front and they claim to be a church. But I want to ask you something this morning. If you were to go around looking for a church, what would be the elements, or what would be the prerequisites that you would look for in a church. Well, I want to preach for a little while on the kind of church that I want to be associated with. And may I say this, that I thank God that the Lord led me to a New Testament, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Thank God the Lord put me in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's many people that believe many things about the church. They believe the church is the building, the actual structural building. But this is not the church. The sheetrock, these rafters, this flooring and all of this is not the church. But the church is those that have been born again by the Spirit of God. The church is made up of a living organism. It is the people that have been blood washed, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, birthed into the family of God. And that, hallelujah, for the church of Jesus Christ. And I thank God that I'm a part of the church. There's a lot of people got many different views about the church, and there's a lot of people that got some bad attitudes about the church. Can I go ahead and just cross that monkey while I'm here at it? There's some people that's got bad manners when it comes to the church. You say, oh, are you preaching to me? Yeah, I'm preaching to you. Amen. You don't support the church. You don't come to the church except if you feel like it. Well, it's going to get a lot worse the longer we go in this thing this morning. You don't tithe to it. Amen. You don't give of your time to it. Don't give of your talents to it. But I'm glad that God, He ordained the church and left it here so we could have a place that we could call our home. Thank God for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this, that the church began in love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I thank God that the Lord loved the world, and as a gift He gave His Son. But I want you to listen what the book of Ephesians says about the church. It said that Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for the church. When you don't support the church, you're not supporting the very thing that Jesus Christ loved and gave Himself for. When you don't faithfully attend the church, you're not supporting the thing that Jesus died for. I think we need to be revived in our attitude about the church. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And some people have got poor manners when it comes to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they won't miss a family reunion, and they won't miss going to Walmart. They won't miss going out to eat, but they'll miss going to the house of God. I say we need to be revived when it comes to the house of God. It's important to God, and it should be important to us. Can I get a witness right there? I want to preach for a little while on the kind of church that I want to be a part of. Number one, I want to say this, that I want to be a part of a preaching church. Amen. Don't get your little stool and set it up and black all the lights out and start talking me up under a halo. Amen. I'm not interested in you talking to me. I want somebody to rear back and preach in the anointing of God Almighty and lift up His voice like a trumpet and say what thus saith the Lord. Don't give me some philosophy. Don't give me some kind of opinion. Don't give me something out of the Disney book. But give me something from the Word of God. We need anointing preaching, and I want to be a part of a preaching church. Amen. Too many churches today, they've gone to these smooth talks. And it was prophesied in the Bible that it would be like that. It said in 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 through 4, He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge... Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Who shall judge the quick and the dead that is appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word, He said. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn their away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. May I tell you this morning, we don't need to hear my opinion. You don't need to hear what I think about it, but we need truth of the Word of God. It's the truth that'll set you free. It's the truth that'll change your life. I want to be a part of a preaching church. Amen. Don't give me no smooth talks. Amen. Rear back and preach the Word of God. In the Old Testament, it was said like this. It said, lift up your voice like a trumpet and make my people to know their sins. You see, preachers today, they're scared to death to preach on sin. They don't want to mention anybody's wrongdoings. They want to tell everybody that they're all right just like they are. I found out when I went to a Bible preaching church that I was not all right. That I was a sinner. Hallelujah. That I was on my way to hell. And thank God I heard about a Savior who died for me. Loved me enough that He gave His life for me. And if I would ask Him, He would save me. Hallelujah. Thank God for preaching of the Word of God. Did you know that preaching is God's choice? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe, is what the Scripture says. That didn't say foolish preaching. It said, but by the foolishness of preaching. To the world, what we do here seems to be foolish. But it's what gets the job done. Is still preaching of the Word of God. And thank God. Thank God. I know that I hold in my hand the preserved, inherent, infallible Word of God. I can stand and preach with authority because of what this book is. It is, hallelujah, the Word of God. If I was looking for a church, the first thing that I would do is I'd go to that pastor and find out what he believed about this book. If he didn't believe what he had in his hand was the Word of God, I wouldn't give you the time of day to sit up under him. Thank you very much. I wouldn't sit up under somebody that didn't believe that they were preaching. We've been charged. Preachers, listen to me. We've been charged to preach the Word of God. And thank God, this book is the preserved Word of God. Amen. I want to be a part of a preaching church. If I ever leave here, if God ever takes me away from here, don't you settle for a preacher that don't believe this book. Amen. Don't you settle for some mealy-mouthed, panty-waisted preacher that does not believe anything in his life. You stay with the book. Stay with the book. It's the book that gets the job done. I want to be a part of a preaching church. Amen. Amen. In the early days, it says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to preach and to teach Jesus Christ. You know what we're to preach? We're to preach Jesus Christ. He is what it's all about. It's not Brother John that can do anything for you. This is not the church of John Dale. This is not the church of Terry Ransom. It's not the church of the Baptist. It is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's the only man. He's the only one that can do anything for you. If I was looking for a church, I'd want to be a part of a church that is a preaching church. But I'm going to say secondly, not only would I want to be a part of a preaching church, I want to be a part of a personal church. Amen. Don't give me a church where the preacher won't preach to me. That's what a lot of them are wanting today. They want a church where they can go in and just hear something that'll make them just feel so good about themselves. And they can walk out tiptoe through the tulips. And just feel so good about themselves. And, oh, I am so good. Don't give me a church like that. Get personal with me. Get personal with me. It's the truth of the Word of God that will change your life. And may I remind you that every one of us, we need God to change our lives. Amen. We need God to touch us and change us. We need God to do something for us. We all need the power of God working in our life. The power of God is not just for the preacher or during the preaching. The power of God is for us to be changed from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Right. I want to go to a personal church. When we still lived in Waycross, we had a store down there. It was kind of like it was before Walmart. It never did get as big as Walmart, but it was called Pick and Save. And you could go in there and buy anything from groceries to a Bible. Matter of fact, after I got saved, I didn't know they had such a thing as a Christian bookstore. So I went to Pick and Save because they sold Bibles there. Got me a King James Bible at Pick and Save. And I wanted me one of them little zippered things. I thought that was so cool. I told Debbie, I said, I don't know why, but I want a King James and I want it to zip up. Man, I found me one there. And I went to Pick and Save after I got saved and started the church. Had me a track full of pocket full of tracks. And I was checking out at Pick and Save, and I took a track out, and as I will sometimes, I handed it to the lady that was checking me out, and I said, ma'am, I said, I want to invite you to come to church. She took a little track, and she said, oh, thank you. She said, I've been looking for a church that I can be comfortable in. I reached over there, took the track back, put it in my pocket. I said, don't come to our church. Mm-mm. If you can sit there and be comfortable in our church and God don't mess with you while you're there, don't come to our church. Amen. I want to be a part of a church where God's at and God's working and God will work in me. Hey, that's what we all need this morning. You don't need to come here and just be comfortable. You need to be changed by the power of God. Amen. Give me a personal church. There was a church in Waycross. And they began this little thing. They began because they had a radio broadcast. They put a traffic light, some kind of like a traffic light up under the pulpit. And it had a green light, had a yellow light, and a red light. And they did that so the preacher would know when it was getting close to 12 o'clock. And at 12 o'clock, it would go red, and he would know that they were off the air. So he could control his sermon. But the word got out to the congregation that there was a traffic light up under there. And so you know what they got to thinking? The whole congregation got to thinking, when it hit 12 o'clock, that preacher better be through. I mean, they were tired of preaching. Amen. They didn't want him to go past 12. And so they even had a deacon in the church. I'm not lying. This is the truth. Amen. They had a deacon in the church. Listen, deacons, they had a deacon in the church that whenever that light turned red, he'd watch his watch. And at 12 o'clock, whether the preacher was through or not, him and his family would get up and walk out the door. Hey, he wouldn't be deacon around here much. Our deacons wouldn't put up with that. Would you, men? You wouldn't put up with a deacon acting like that. Hey, we ought to love preaching so much that we want it to change us. Hey, it can change the smallest to the biggest. Hallelujah. It can change men and women, boys and girls, and thank God, the truth of the Word of God will change your life. I was going to be a part of a church. I want to be a part of a preaching church. I want to be a part of a personal church. Get personal with me. Amen. God, get personal with me. You know, we got churches today. They're celebrity churches. There's people that believe in just sitting at house and watching church on TV. You know, and they watch them preachers that say, reach your hand towards the TV for a point of contact. I got something better than that. Won't you put your hand behind the TV and touch the electrical cord back there and get you a real point of contact? Won't you really get you a feeling while you at it? Amen. Reach your hand and get a point of I want to serve notice on you. They can't contact you. Amen. If they can, there's something wrong with you. Amen. Amen. And some say, well, I'll just sit at the house. Only bad thing about that, God ain't going to deal with you like that. God's ordained the church. God's ordained the church to work in. Now, I understand if you're providentially handicapped or something and cannot make it to church. I understand that. But if you can't make it to church when the church is open, there's something wrong with your heart and God Almighty. You see, the thing about it, God sees what you can do. And when you say that you can't, somebody did a survey one time. They said, I want to go around and find out why people can't go to church. So they went around, they did a survey, and they said, why can't you go to church? And they said, well, this is the reason I can't. I went when I was a little boy. I said, okay. And another one said, well, why can't you go to church? And he said, well, I've been going all my life. Ain't done nothing for me. And so he went through all the gamut and heard every excuse that could be offered. then what he did was he went and changed the word church to movie and read it again. Well, I went to the movies when I was a little boy, and I'm just not going to go now. I went to the movies all my life, and it ain't never done nothing for me. And he said, see, your excuse just ain't going to hold water. The Church of Jesus Christ is the most important entity on planet Earth. I appreciate all three amens. The Church of Jesus Christ is the most important entity on planet Earth. Amen. Thank God. What if all of us stayed at the house? What if the preacher came and said, well, I just forgot to get up a sermon. What if the preacher said, well, I just ain't going to preach today. I'm going to tell you that every one of us that named the name of Jesus Christ, we make up the Church of Jesus Christ. And God has ordained the local assembly to gather together and meet in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to be a part of a preaching church, a personal church, number three. I want to be a part of a praying church. I like what went on this morning. Most churches have taken out the prayer altars. I listened to a preacher preach an entire sermon. I mean, it was a long one. If anybody ever asks you if your preacher is a short preacher or a long preacher, you tell them that I'm short. I am 5'7½". Well, I used to be. I'm getting shorter. I'm 5'6½". The day I found that out, I had me a meltdown. I got saved back in the days of Noah, right after the flood. And everybody thinks I'm too short or too old. But I like what went on down here at these altars. Somebody get a little touch from God. And all of a sudden, they got to make their way to an altar and just bow before God. And then the other saints would gather around. I watched my wife. I watched my wife, and I watched her walk from over there around over here and gathered with somebody. Then I watched somebody else go over there, and I watched my wife walk back around and go over there. And I wondered over my years of ministry, over the 26 years that I've been pastoring. I wonder how many miles she's put in from her seat to an altar and back. How many miles she's put in to bow with the saints of God. I want to tell you something. Our God still hears prayer. Thank God. Our God still answers prayer. Our God is a prayer answering God. Thank the Lord for prayer. Thank God that we have the opportunity to bow our knees before Jesus Christ. You know what? I listened to that preacher preach a whole entire message on why his church took out the prayer altars and why they don't give an invitation. He said it's all emotional. You think about prayer all you want to. I bring my emotions to him in prayer. I'm shot sometimes, and I just bring that shot emotion to God. And say, God, I can't go on like this any longer. And God, I need you, your touch. I need you to do something for me. And before I get up, oh, hallelujah. Before I get up, God has met with me on my knees. A lot of people think, well, they must really be bad as much as they go to the altar. We might be bad when we go down, but we're better when we get up. Amen. Get you some of that. Amen. Amen. I'll make as many trips to the altar of God as I need to make. Amen. And thank God for a praying church. Tear stains all across these altars ever since we put them in about 5 years ago. Thank God for every tear. Did you know every tear that's ever fell on these altars, God's got His angel there catching that tear and bottling it up. When we get to heaven, He'll have our tears in them bottles, and he said, oh yeah, I remember them tears you cried. I remember when you was going through that. You remember how I brought you? Oh, glory. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I like what somebody said the only thing we need to understand about prayer is that God hears it. Amen. Amen. It don't matter whether you can get the words out or not. God hears your prayers. And I want to be a part of a praying church, a preaching church, a personal church, a praying church. And lastly, I'll end it up right here. I want to be a part of a partnership church. Well, you say, what do you mean by that, preacher? We're in partnership with Jesus Christ. A lot of churches, you know what the missing element in a lot of churches is today? God. They got everything but God. They got the programs. They got the plays. They got the bulletin with everything mapped out. They'll tell you exactly what time you're going to sing such and such a song. They'll tell you in that bulletin exactly what time to stand up and what time to sit down. But I like it when God Himself will show up at church and just wreck your bulletin and your little program. And He'll tell you when to stand up and when to sit down. Amen. I like it being in partnership with Jesus Christ. But not only am I in partnership with Jesus Christ, I'm in partnership with the brethren. Brother Stephen, I want to do my part as your pastor. I want to be a good pastor in your life. Jojo, I want to do my part. I want to be your partner. I want to ask you something. What part are you playing in the church of Jesus Christ? But Stace, I want to be your partner. I want to be in this thing together with the brethren. I don't want this thing to get to where, what's Brother John going to do today? What does it matter what I'm going to do today? What's God going to do around here today? Amen. Well, I come to see what God's going to do in my heart and in your heart. You know what I got to thinking when those people up there praying? I was thinking, well, that's my brethren. That's my brother. That's my sister down there. And thank God they're getting help. I didn't look down here with critical eyes. I was saying, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. That's my brother. That's my sister over here bowing. And she's getting help from God. I was thinking, hallelujah. Well, hey, when Ashley got up and she got to singing that song, I said, hallelujah. That's my sister. Amen. That's singing for the glory of God. She could be out there in the world living for the devil. But look at her singing for Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to be a partnership. Church, I want to do my part. I don't want to miss my part. I don't want to get so cumbered about with other things that I miss what God's wanting me to do at Merville Baptist Church. I think that I shall never see a church that's all it ought to be, a church whose members never stray beyond the straight and narrow way, a church that has no empty pews, whose pastor never has the blues. A church whose deacon's always deek, and none is proud, and all are meek. Where gossips never peddle lies, or make complaints or criticize. Where all are always sweet and kind, and all to others' faults are blind. Such perfect church members there may be, but none of them are known to me. But still, we'll work and pray and plan to make our own the best we can. I want to do everything I can to do my part at Merville Baptist Church to make this place, when people come, when we have visitors come, there's one thing I want them to be impressed with when they leave. This is it. God was there. God was there at that place. I was they have Super Bowl Sundays and they have all this crazy stuff going on, you know, just to try to get people. We're not going to have Super Bowl Sundays. We're not going to put a big screen in here and show that on TV with their Budweiser advertisements and all that. We're not going to do that. And their little skimpy cheerleaders out there skimping around and flip-flapping everywhere. We're not going to do that. Other things or whatever they call themselves can do that, but we're not going to do that. And they're always doing something, trying to have something to get the worldly crowd to come. We're going to offer them the Word of God. That's what a change of life. We're going to offer them the presence of God. That's what they need in their lives. What would you be looking for if you went and started hunting a church? Number one on my list would be that book. What do they do with that book? You know, they got a new disease out. There's a new disease that's coming in and it's come from the foreign lands and it's now invading America. And it's moving rapidly. It's called Morbus Sebeticus. And this is the symptoms. It's better known as Sunday sickness. And it's a disease peculiar to some church members. The symptoms are it never lasts more than 24 hours. It never interferes with the appetite. Another symptom is no physician is ever called for.
I'm too sick.
It happens only on Sunday and no other part of the week. And after a few attacks, it will become chronic. I'm glad God has put a love in my heart for the church of Jesus Christ. I love it. I love going to church. I love assembling with people. I love seeing what God will do in the hearts of people's lives. Let's all stand. Get the pianist to come.